Hey everyone, in this week's episode, we will be talking about sexual assault and violence. If that is something that is upsetting to you, please take care as you listen, and resources are available in the show notes. Let's get on with the show. Welcome to Minority Corner, where we take an introspective look at the world through an intersectional lens. I'm James, he, him. I'm a queer political activist, actor, comedian, self-proclaimed sexy blurb. That's a black nerd. And each week, I'm joined in the corner by other fabulous minorities and some allies tackling the news, pop culture, politics, media, entertainment, and history with a little self-care, self-love sprinkled throughout, all for our own personal and collective empowerment. It's the end of the year as we know it, and we've got Aneke, she/her librarian, co-creator, original OG of the pod. She's here, y'all. She is here, and let me tell you, she is in her element, literally coming at us from the library because it is open, but not really because of COVID, but that's where she physically is for this episode. Now, I went down in MTV's Are You the One rabbit hole. We talk new Netflix movies, Jingle Jangle and The Prom and their cultural impact, plus drag queens in Portugal. And then it is on to our favorite things like Oprah, but you're not getting anything. Y'all are not getting anything. I mean, unless you can give yourself the gift of these gifts of things that we're going to dish out to you all, because 2020, what a year. Goes without saying. I feel like that's what everyone's been saying, but it's true. But there are some really great things that happen. We check our music playlist. What is Spotify and Apple Music telling us? What are bops and our most listened to artists? What are they saying? And then also, Aneke and I go over what are the top TV shows that we watched in 2020 that made a huge impact on us, movies, books, and so much more. It is a year in review to look back. How did media change us this year? Because like X, we're going to give it to ya and stick around to the end where I cap off my hopes for 2021 and the road that lay ahead based on the seeds that are currently being planted that we are seeing being planted at the tail end of 2020. A lot happened, but I think there's also a lot to be hopeful for from the work that we did. We did a lot of work, y'all, this year. We did it. So good work. The future shines so bright, it burns my eyes, to quote Oprah, quoting Maya Angelou about her. But it applies to you all too, because it's our favorite things of 2020. It is time to learn, laugh, and play right now on Minority Corner. Oh my gosh, y'all, she's coming at us live from the library. In case I'm like, Aneke, what happened in 1868? She gonna be like,
a lot of terrible shit.
Okay, but she also has the books.
I do.
She got the books right behind her. She's like, hold on, let me go look that up. Boo, 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 boo.
It's true.
Aneke is so on brand today, it's not funny. It's insane how on brand you are.
I'm in my truest form right now. I am in the library. I'm surrounded by old books. I got that great old book smell going on. I got my glasses on.
Woo!
I got my everything stacked on books. My mic stacked on books. My laptop stacked on books. I am in my Elemente.
She got stacks on stacks on stacks. Aneke is stacked.
The library
today
is open.
Uh-oh. No. Am I going to get red today?
Actually,
damn.
Actually,
she ready
the
for
The library
me.
Is actually closed because of COVID. Everybody be safe out there. But, okay. You know.
Yeah. But you know what? The virtual library is still open.
Is.
Don't think you can't get read.
Mm-mm.
Don't think you can't get read.
Mm-mm.
Oh, you know,
yes.
At work, we had a very interesting virtual event because everyone's like so tired of like virtual things.
Yeah.
But like, what else are we going to do, y'all? We can't
be.
We're also kind of limited.
No in person.
But we had a virtual drag event.
Oh.
And it was like, I had no idea what to expect. I thought it was going to be some local Bay Area queens.
Yeah.
It started, I'm like, I don't know these hoes.
Yeah.
And why do they keep saying like, oh, we're struggling with English, but they're like, English is our second language.
Okay.
Turns out it was drag queens from Portugal.
Whoa!
Doing a show for us.
What?
Yes. So Airbnb is doing these experiences where you can like hire folks to do these experiences. It was a drag group from Portugal, and it was like
a
multi-camera shoot. They're like, we're going to do a performance. There was like drag queens coming in from the ceiling, drag queens popping out of presents to do like these like drag queen numbers, and then they would do like these like contests. They were like, all right, now we're going to do a lip sync battle with you all, and then we'd have to like do
a lip sync battle,
like costume contest. They were like renamed us all. So normally it's like James Arthur Martin. Right. She's like, you're Miss Jingle Bells. And so she like would rename, like she was like, she's like, you're Ginger Snap, because he was a ginger.
Oh.
And listen, Portugal,
you
they
know
can,
what?
They can
whatever.
Do what they want.
They're a tiny little European country that
just like a little, just on you the know, side. They're like, we're kind of here.
You know, they
your first stop in it was my my first stop yeah. into Europe, because when we did the crossing, that was our first little. I was like, I'm in Europe now.
I want to go to Portugal. I heard that Portugal is beautiful. I mean, the Real Housewives just went to Portugal. What in Ibiza
legally?
Oh,
no, that's España. Ibiza is a part of España.
That's España. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But no,
oh,
but in Portugal they legalized all the drugs, and guess what happened?
I mean.
What
happened? Nothing.
Drug addiction went down. Like, people, because when you legalize stuff, and they're able to start using stuff for like, essentially acid. What is it called? LSD is like the official term. They're starting to like conduct experiments.
Yeah.
It's helpful for people to dealing with like trauma and PTSD. Like their original design. And when you actually bring it to a more legalized scientific, mode, you can control the substances. Because when you're just doing LSD off the street, you don't know what you're doing,
you
Sandra.
Don't know. You could be doing Windex.
You don't
know. You could be doing Windex dried down with some Crest toothpaste in it.
And you're like, woo, dead. Okay? So
no, why'd you make me laugh? Because
you didn't know what the... See, because the trip, that'll happen to you, Aneke. That'll happen. You're like,
that's
giggle,
true,
giggle, dead.
This is
okay?
Dark.
Okay? So...
This is getting...
Listen.
D-A-R-K.
You gotta take learning
but didn't,
a lesson.
Didn't a state... I feel like a state just legalized. Was it Oregon or Washington just legalized drugs?
Good question.
One
check
of those.
The library. Check the sources. Check behind you. Look at the books. What does it say?
Let me see what one got here. This is... Unfortunately, this is universities of Europe in the Middle Ages. It's not going to help
me, we'll put it in the fact check, because you're right. I did hear about that. I think it was one of the states legalized some sort of something. I think all the drugs or something. Something's legal. Stay tuned to the end of the episode to find out what.
I think I really do think it was a northern state, either Oregon or Washington.
You almost said
legalized.
Portugal, didn't you? I saw that.
No,
pee. I saw that pee foaming around your mouth.
I mean, by the way, the ladies of Potomac and the Real Housewives went to Portugal, and one lady was like, "We're in Portland."
See, edit.
And then one lady had to be like, "Portugal."
See, and this is what happens. They go into reality TV. They're like, "I got a bad edit." Nope, that footage was there for you to look dumb. Right? That's just what it is.
You be stupid.
Oh,
you be stupid sometimes.
So I didn't realize this. I feel like I grew up, I'm like a little bit too ahead. I didn't know this. Somehow I went down this rabbit hole of like, I don't know how this happened. I honestly don't remember how I ended up in this. You know, sometimes you're just on the internet and you're like, how did I get here? Somehow I ended up in Are You the One Season 8. Which is like an MTV dating reality show.
I'm too old, but I heard of this. People love this one, apparently.
And this is like season 8. Didn't know this show existed, but season 8 was so revolutionary because it was all like gender fluid, sexual fluid folks. Essentially, the premise is like a bunch of people on an island or in like a sexy hot spot, and they're an algorithm sort of matches them up of like who they should be with, and they
but wait, we talked about this.
Was this the one that we were talking about? No, this is the, you were talking about the Netflix one.
Because, because we were talking about the Netflix one and you were like, I don't like it because they're heteronormative. And I'm like, yeah, true, that's good. But have you heard of this? Are You the One on MTV? Cool.
I was looking at the notes of like what's coming up next. I don't remember. And listen, lady, I have done 50 episodes this year. Okay. You come and go. I have a lot of information to keep track of.
Wow. Do you guys, this heat I get, this is how you treat family. You always are just, always tough to your closest.
Listen, if you were Desiree last week, I would have laughed and giggled this off, but you were Neke. You my sister.
I know, but I know I'm.
I don't remember. But this is good to remind the audience, because if I forgot, I'm sure they also forgot, or maybe they weren't here for it because listeners came on board.
Remind them, James.
Thank you. Anyways, Are You the One? The reason why it's so revolutionary is that it was, all of this, because a lot of these dating shows are so hetero. We have to watch you hetero people running around doing your things. We have to imagine ourselves of what would this be like if I were on it? I'm exhausted by having to implant myself into straight stories. I hear you. Then to come to find out, I saw this promo image. This is how I went down this rabbit hole. The promo image, it was like, I was like,
how'd you get there?
Oh my god, I don't know how I got here, but I did realize that in one of the promos.
Okay, but so no, you're telling me.
So I have no idea how
I'm leading you into
but
it.
I actually don't even know how I'm in Are You the One season 8. I don't know how I'm here, but how I got further into it is that. Okay. I got further into it because I saw an image of one of the guys. I'm like, wait a minute. That guy, one, was in my neighborhood in New York. Two, was the bartender in New York. Three, went to my gym. Four, we had talked to each other on Scruff before. And how do I know it was him? He's got a very colorful chest tattoo. And I'm like, oh, I know that tattoo. Oh, that's that guy. Justin.
James, okay, first and foremost, I just have to say this. Every time I talk to you, you are like the Forrest Gump of reality TV shows.
Because it's like, I know that person.
You know, Are You the One? You know that person.
Frankie Grande.
Watching fucking The Vow, and you're like, I know somebody from The Vow.
Oh, you're right. Oh, yeah, she's trying to get me into her cult. I was sitting at an event for Marianne Williamson, and Frankie Grande from Big Brother, I had to meet him because Marianne's
Ariana's brother.
Ariana Grande's brother, yeah. Because Marianne Williamson is like, meet your neighbors. And then he turns around and I'm like, oh, hello. Hello, Frankie.
And let's not forget the fact that you actually met Shea Coulee and you're like, who? When you met them.
Who?
I'm done.
Who?
Everybody listening to this
remember.
Right now. You don't know who Shea Coulee is?
Oh.
Shea Coulee is the winner of Drag Race, the current reigning winner of Drag Race.
Oh, I vaguely remember meeting her. That's right. Good for her. I'm glad she's.
I think the pronouns are they.
Good
though,
for them. Anyways, I love that the kids have a reality dating show for queer folks. I just think that is amazing. I'm too old to be on that goddamn show, but I'm hoping that once I become 50, that there's gonna be one for the older folks. So hoping that's coming down the pipeline. Are you still looking for the one? Yes,
it's
I am. How dare
it's
you?
It's going to happen because they already, for the straights, they already have The Bachelor was 40. And that's wild. Ooh. So I feel like, Are You the One? They're probably going to have a VH1, which is for the old, for us. So maybe you'll get in there when you're 45. Get in there. 45-year-olds are still kind of hot. As a person who's nearing 40.
I will be a very hot 45-year-old. Let's put that into the existence. Speak it into existence. Nipples ready.
James, black don't crack. We're going to be sexy until we're at least 75.
And throw in some anti-aging cream. Getting this face on locked.
My creams and serums on every single night. And as you can
see,
James,
if you start waiting to when you need it, it's too late.
Preventative care. Do you see any wrinkles on this forehead, James?
Look at that baby.
Glass.
I actually thought this was your daughter for a second. I was like,
it's Maya
Woot on the podcast. Okay, I want to touch on a few couple things. Now to touch the show. It. That was just the warm up.
Touch it.
We're like, what have we been doing? I want to get your take on this. So, because there's two movies that I want to talk about. I don't know if you've seen the second one, but and I won't give any spoilers. But I want to talk to you about... So, I fell off of Netflix because HBO... You know I got all the mother subscriptions. So, HBO Max is like...
HBO Max be hitting
where
it.
Where else am I supposed
they
to go?
HBO... It.
And like, people are sleeping on it. Apparently, they like don't have the numbers, but like...
People are sleeping on HBO Max?
They're sleeping on it because they don't have the numbers, which is why like movie theaters are so upset at Warner Brothers because they're like, listen, just because you fucked up and no one wants your service, why are you releasing all these movies? You know, because Warner Brothers just made the controversial move that they're going to release all their movies. I say,
it made me happy.
Well, I actually, I am actually against it. Because those people need to get paid. People do not, like the movie industry, there's many people who don't get paid until that movie is released. And then hold off. I think that we can survive a year of there's enough like television and content. I think if our Rosie the Riveter is just like sitting on her couch with, you know, watching, you know, TV, I say we can hold off another year. I think that like, because like so I want to talk about Jingle Jangle and The Prom. Because when I was watching The Prom...
Yeah, but we can't be going to theaters.
It made me sad that it wasn't in theaters because it is such a experience and moment that I'm like, man, I want to be hearing this. I put my headphones on, but I wanted to be experiencing this in all of, like, it was meant to be in theaters and experience that way. So, I don't know. I think there's some movies, like the blockbuster movies, like Dune, The Matrix, 4. I think that, like, you know, maybe some of the smaller movies, you know, go ahead and maybe release them. But I just think there's some directors who, like, they don't get paid until that movie gets released. And I guess that's my thing is I want, you know, the industry to be successful, I want people to make the money that they deserve to be made is my thing.
So then I'm confused. So you want it just, do you want us to wait or do you want it to be released?
Yeah. I say just wait because especially the vaccine is coming. I think some of these movies could wait like another year or something. I just think like Warner Brothers was, you know, I don't know why they made that movie to do all of their movies for 2021 is my thoughts. But Jingle Jangle. So I got a text from Aneke a few weeks ago and she's like, oh boy, you better be watching this Jingle Jangle. I'm paraphrasing. This is not what she said. But and then I got a text from her.
No. I mean, if you heard the rest of the podcast, I don't sound like that.
And then she was like, I had to turn it off. What happened?
Okay, well, first of all, Jingle Jangle is a movie that is on Netflix. It is a holiday romp. It is styled like a Victorian Christmas special, but it has black people in it. And literally every single black person that you know and love comes dancing on through.
And also, too, I mean, a diverse cat, because there's even in the back, you know, we're watching the background. So it's got, you know, it's featuring black people, but other people are also there. Like,
normally it's featuring white people, and then we got one black guy doing black backflips in the back. But this time we got one white person doing backflips in the back. And I
actually was,
that.
It's kind of the reverse, or the one line who's like, I'm closing down your business, as that's a white guy.
Well, Jingle Jangle to me, yeah. So Jingle Jangle, basically Victorian, black people, white, a couple of, you know, diversity in the background doing backflips. What I loved about it was the way that it looked. You know, it took Victorian style, it took steampunk style, and they infused black hairstyles. Like, I read an article where it literally took them like 3 months to create Felicia Rashad's wig. Like, they really put the details into it, right?
Ooh, and I love that. And they got money behind this.
It looks
they put
rich.
Money.
It's a rich bitch show. Like, it is, the set pieces are great.
Rich bitch. Christmas special. Yes. Dance numbers. Apparently it's the same choreographer of The Greatest Showman, which I didn't watch because I don't like P.T. Barnum, but I do like the, when you see the, but when you see the snippets of,
I don't,
you know,
like
Greatest
that.
Showman, it's like, man, this would be great if only it wasn't that plot. Like, I'd love to watch the dance number. I've watched a few of the dance numbers look great. So it's got, like, top-notch choreography, like, just really hitting it, doing amazing things, backflips, front flips, hip-hop choreography.
Exactly. I have to give credit to the costuming too, because they also infused a lot of African pattern and fabric into Victorian costumes. So one, I was magnetized when I first saw it. I was like, this is gorgeous. This is beautiful. Let me watch this. Oh, they're singing. They're dancing. They're doing it up. Okay, great. Okay, now we got weird TikTok things. Like, I don't really like Victorian period. I think the Victorian period is creepy to me, but this won me over. I was okay into it.
Because there's something very Christmassy about, because of Charles Dickens.
It is.
Charles Dickens, like, invented Christmas, essentially. So,
basically. Yeah. So, it was like that, but with black people, and I liked it. But here's the thing, James. Mm-hmm. It just got to be too much. It was like, the people who were doing it were like, okay, now we got a cranky old man. Okay, great. We got a precocious young lady. Great. We got a strangely British black little kid coming in here. Okay, the post person likes this man. Okay, so she has love for him. Okay, now we got a villain who is Keegan-Michael Keyes, and he is wild, and he's also being controlled by an Matador robot.
Ricky Martin, a puppet. A Matador puppet robot voiced by the talented, sexy Ricky Martin.
So it just got to be. And then at one point, there was a time when a new robot shows up and they're floating in the air, the two kids. And I was just like, what am I watching? What is happening?
Sure. Yeah.
My daughter got up and left.
Oh, no.
And I was like, okay, you know what? But I don't want to bag it because I feel like so much care and detail went into it.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm going to say, James? And I think that you'll agree with me. I think it would be excellent as a stage production.
Oh, that was my number one note. I can't wait to see this thing on Broadway. I can't wait till, I know that there are local theater companies who are clamoring to, like, they're like, oh, this will be our new, you know, Christmas special. Because I thought it was so, like, because my cousin, and on my cousin, like, he's seen it like 3 times. I mean, grown up.
Oh,
like, he's been on the podcast before. Cymatic Bruce gives it all the stars. Like, he's seen it like 3 different times. He loved like the steampunk vibe.
And this,
like,
is right up his alley.
He loves it. Yeah. And so, like, I watched it like at, like, you know, midnight, thinking I'd fall asleep. It kept my attention the entire time. Maybe because I'm not a toddler. So that could be it, you know. But it gave me Christmas vibe. Like, my body was vibrating the entire time. Like, it gave me, like, I'm not big on Christmas movies. It gave me Christmas magic. Like, the Christmas movie I love is like A Christmas Story. So, like, it shows you where my heart and soul is for Christmas. Like, but I, like, it made me want to eat Christmas cookies, which then I did because a friend had just dropped off some Christmas cookies.
Right?
And, oh, the writer director, his name, David E. Talbert, he created this movie because he grew up watching movies like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and he tried showing them to his kids, and they were like, what the hell is this crap? Like, we're not into it. Because this is a bunch of white people going on magical adventures, right? So he wanted to create something for, you know, and this is like for black people, everybody, but at least for black people to be able to see themselves. And I thought, like, oh my God, if I was a kid and could have watched this movie growing up, like, getting to play and be in this imaginary land.
Yes.
It just is like, because a lot of times we have to see ourselves in these roles and in these places. And I just, and it's, there's a theme of like black people remembering our magic, you know, and
I love it.
Also, I love that, like, our original Disney BAP, Anika and Rose is in it.
She
I
had wish a she small had, role.
I wish she was in
Why
it more.
Why did they give her such a small role?
But she had that one, she did have that one song that does bang out. Yes, so, you know, I do wish she was in it, you know, more. Here's what I'm hoping for. A sequel. I think that Netflix is probably like looking for hey, how can we milk this out? I think if we have 3 Santa Clauses, ain't no reason why we can't get more
snaps. All the snaps. 100% agree. I gave it, you know, I was just getting a little tired at the end, but that is just me as an older person. But I think all children deserve this magic because it's a magic show. And I just, like, I texted you that. I think texted you where I was like, this is Christmas.
Yes.
This is the warmest Christmas shit ever.
Yes.
Watch this with a blanket over you. Like, have some cocoa. Like, do yourself a treat. If you want some Christmas, sit down with a blanket, get yourself some hot cocoa, and enjoy
the ride. And little Miss
Madeline
Mills, she is the future. She played Journey. She is so fucking talented.
She's cute.
Yeah.
She's so cute.
So I know we've Last thing I just want to say, no spoilers, but I did see The Prom, and I only thought was I wish it was in theaters. It's really good. It is actually really, really good. Same thing.
Speaking of stage, it's a stage play that's been made into a movie.
100%. It gave me all the feels. Kerry Washington, go ahead, Kerry Washington. She's singing, okay? She's singing, and she's hitting the notes, and she's dancing. Kerry Washington, the cast is
good.
Cast is amazing. Meryl Streep is so fucking talented, because I saw her in this, and then I saw her in that HBO Max movie.
Is that good? Should I watch that? I watched Steven Soderbergh one?
I watched it and worked out. So if you have some things that you're also wanting to do around the house, okay. Like it is good, but like I'm glad I didn't just like sit down. And Candace Bergen is talented in it. Okay. Like, but I didn't.
Okay, I'll craft.
Ryan Murphy craft is so good at this because it's Glee 2.0. And I feel like he's going to change and save lives with this movie, because it really is the first time I've ever seen queer people front and center, and specifically, you know, two high school lesbians and their love story and their journey in the city of Indiana, and sometimes how like liberal people from the coast try to come in and like save the middle of the country, and maybe we don't really know the best way to how to go into these communities and have them have these conversations. And sometimes it's a little self-serving in some ways, but like hearts are in the right place. But it brought up some other things for me too. I'm so done watching straight people in musicals, because this is the first time I got to see gay people, queer people front and center of a musical. And it's so frustrating because like we created the musical, we designed the musicals, we choreographed the musicals, and we have to always see ourselves through the lens of straight people. And it made me remind myself of like, I never even had the option of going to prom with someone of my that I would have liked to have gone with, you know? And it made me just sort of realize, just sort of, you know, being gay and queer, we might make it look easy sometimes, but it's sort of like the coronavirus where we just learn to live with it. Does that make sense? Where it's sort of like it's a pressure. And what I mean, not like being queer or gay is a virus, but like we've adapted as human beings of how to live in the world of coronavirus, right? How to survive in it. And it's a weight that you always feel. When you are queer, even though I'm able to sing and dance and live my life, there's still a pressure that I feel. There's still a fear and things that I can't do, or I'm not able to do, or to navigate, that I just realized it just kind of brought some things. I've been very fortunate. I'm living in San Francisco, and I've lived in very, you know, liberal places, but there's just still like a road that I have to walk that, you know, my straight brothers and sisters just do not have to experience. And I think the movie shows there's still so much more work and journey to go. Ryan Murphy, like I said, is going to save lives. Kids are going to see this movie and see themselves reflected. Parents are going to see the conversations that they still need to have, or see the journey that their kids are going to go on, that they're going on. Just chef's kiss. I fucking loved it. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to jump back into it is our favorite things of 2020. You get a favorite thing. You get a favorite thing.
Have a lot of problems.
How do you juggle your holds at the library?
Well, how do you decide what to read next?
What do you do when you find out an author you love is a huge trash baby?
I'm Bria Grant.
And I'm Mallory O'Mara.
And we're the hosts of Reading Glasses.
We're here to solve all your reader problems, and along the way, help you figure out
your reader wheelhouse,
which are the things that will absolutely make you pick up a book. Our listener favorites tend to be magic and a woman on a journey.
And also birds for some reason.
Your reader doghouse.
Yeah, that's the things that'll make you avoid a book.
Ugh, love triangles stress me out so much. Reading Glasses.
Every Thursday on MaximumFun.org.
Life is too short to sleep between anything less than really nice sheet. You know what? Maybe you look at some of these retailers and calculated the years of interest you'd pay on just one set, and you're like, not for me. Can't do it. No. Well, it is time then to check out Brook Linen. So Brook Linen works directly with manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without those luxury level markups. Brook Linen has a variety of sheets, colors, patterns, and materials to fit your needs and taste. I went with a very tasteful smoky gray to go with my teal and dark blue color set that I already had. But also, what's dope about Brooklinen is that there's so much more than just sheets. They've got comforters, pillows, towels, even loungewear, so much more, especially as we're here in the winter season trying to get all cozy. And I told you all this before, but Brooklinen made me officially an adult. They say that adults have at least two pairs of linens. Now I got them. And not only do I have a pair of linens, but like, they're really nice. Like, they're so soft. I've been sleeping like a baby, like a queen in my new Brooklinen sheets. They're so nice and they feel so fancy because you know what? This year's been rough. And so we need to be like sleeping really well. So if you want to sleep like a buttery queen that you are, then go to brooklinen.com and use promo code minority to get 10% off your first order and free shipping.
Dun, 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 dun,
okay, Aneke, we had a year, or it's coming toward towards an end.
Oh, we're back from the break.
Oh, okay, I thought that's what that music was. It's like, damn, Aneke is keeping us rolling.
I don't know what's happening.
Oh, God. It's just what happens.
It's like when you come back home and your bedroom has been changed to a gym. You have to remember how things kind of work a little.
Your bedroom has become a gym. You're like, wait, Mom, where do I sleep? On the treadmill.
She's like, I exercise
but be
now.
Off by 8 a.m. Be off that treadmill by 8 a.m. because I got to get my steps in. Oh, Mom, don't ever change.
No.
Okay, so we had a year.
Who's what mom is this?
I know. What a wild, mother.
Okay, yes.
We had a year. And I just want to jump in and what some of our favorite things of this past year were.
Oh, yes.
So we can go through TV shows, musics, books. So did Spotify tell you what some of your favorite bops were of 2020?
100%. I did the whole Spotify breakdown. And apparently I am I've always had weird taste in music, and even though I like pop music, I listen to it, I am a full embracer of the radio. I love the radio, but for some reason, whenever I get on Spotify, I start clicking into weird shit. And one that's not so weird that I will say is Jessie Ware. I love Jessie Ware. I love her latest album called Spotlight. It came out this year. It is sexy. It's kind of 70s. It's kind of 80s, funky. There's some good dance tracks to it. She sounds like an updated version of Lisa Stanfield. You know, like, been around the world and I can't find my baby.
Okay. I'm glad you spelled that out because I was like, I don't know who the first person you said was. And then the second one, I'm like, I still don't know.
I know. I'm helping.
I love that.
I think,
song.
James, you should listen to, you should listen to, see?
Remember, I don't care when I'm the,
do me a favor.
I love that
listen
song.
To Jessie Ware. Listen to Jessie Ware.
Okay.
Because I think that you would really
you
like her a lot. She's British. She's British. She's great. She's fun.
Ask her if she's putting anything into the microwave.
She's not Nigella Lawson. Nigella Lawson is rich and weird. I'm going to stand up for my British compatriots and say that nobody in the UK says microwave like Nigella Lawson
does. I asked my very British ex-boyfriend, and he confirmed that that's how he has always said it, as microwave. So apparently that's how they say it. I'll give them...
He's a trickster.
I will give them...
He is a goddamn trickster.
Aluminium is a stretch, but I have to draw the line at microwave. That is a lot.
They don't say microwave. They really don't. They don't.
I will go into Civil War II over this. Even though we're already separated, I will still go to war.
You mean Revolutionary War. Civil War was when we did it ourselves. We fought against ourselves.
Okay, I get it. You've got books and you like know things behind you. Got it. Who else is on your musical pick list?
Let's see. I really like, I ended up listening to Little Dragon a lot. I like Little Dragon. I was basic and liked the Taylor Swift new album because I kind of like that wood nymph feel to it, and her lyrics actually are really good. I know that we've given her a lot of shit on this podcast, but I have to say she's been good. Tame Impala is another one that I really enjoy. Polo and Pan is this French band that I really like. So, you know, Dirty Projectors, Disclosure, Lady Gaga. I liked her new album. That was good, too. So a lot of ups and downs all over the place.
But they're your view. Okay. Not like, or some things that surprised you about the Taylor Swift thing. Put a pin in this because she's actually on a few of my different lists. And I think I know exactly how this happened. But so I have Apple Music, and they let me know what my top albums were, and also my top artists. Dua Lipa, like, she won everything. My, like, number one bop that I listened to apparently was Don't Stop, Don't Start Now. 116
yeah,
plays. Exactly. She also took my number two spot with Physical. And then Pussycat Dolls React with rounding out that number three. And then Dua Lipa, number four. Mm-hmm. And then we've got some Lady Gaga in there, Stupid Love. Taylor Swift is also in my top 15 of bops with her song Lover.
Look at you.
Yeah. Here's what happened. And she's also in one of my top movies of the year. And I put it because it had such an impact. Like, when I was looking at, like, my movies and TV shows, I was like, what had, like, a great impact on me this year? Her documentary changed everything for me. I really, it's like, good. Put it in. It's a great documentary. It was like, oh, I got it wrong. I didn't, you know, sometimes you have to really get to know the person. As you might say in your surrounding, you can't judge a book by its cover. No.
Sometimes you can, though. Sometimes the cover art.
That's true.
Sometimes the cover art speaks to the content. But it's true, James. You really can't. You got to let the book show itself.
Sometimes same with that person, though. That cover, you're like, I was right.
Why are you wearing that?
When someone shows you who they really are, believe them the first time. But I was really surprised. Yes. You know how much I am part of the Britney army. And while she is in my top 100, like, I have a top 100 playlist that Apple Music, you know, created, which also has, if you go deeper into, like, the top 100, some Sade is in there. I always say Sade. Sade is always, she's in there. Also, like, the 1979 Smashing Pumpkins, because I have, like, a nighttime playlist that I listen to. So it's a lot of, like, Anita Baker.
Okay, I was going to say, dig it into that backpack of yours of life. James is going back.
Yeah, so there is some of that in there too. But Britney does. So, but when I go to, like, my most listened to artists, Britney Spears at number one, because her catalog is just so large that, like, there's no one single bop that's gonna take the cake for me. Like, I'm just listening to, like, all of her tracks, you know.
Yeah, but that's not surprising for me for you, because you've always been a part of that army. You've gone and seen her. You support Britney. You do the whole free Britney movement.
Although going to see her, I listened to her less. It was a little, like, the magic was a little bit gone.
Yeah, that was kind of.
She was struck, you know.
I remember big fat bass or whatever the fuck that song was called.
She just pumping and yawning and pumping. But you know what? You know what? She's going through some things. So, you know, sometimes she's heavily medicated. She can't move as much as she wants to because, you know, she's just dealing with some things.
Yeah.
But
Dua Lipa, never know what's happening in the background.
You don't. Don't judge that book. Don't you do it. Don't judge this book is what I'm saying. But Dua Lipa, Janet, Lady Gaga, all in my top listen to artists. My top albums, Future Nostalgia, Chromatica.
Dua, Gaga.
And you know what? Look at little Ariana Grande. Just dropped an album and already taking the number four spot with Position. Like, she's just creeping in there. I'm already listening to it that much.
I mean, I love it.
Dua Lipa also is my
James, I got a question for you.
What?
Ariana Grande gets so many hand tattoos?
In between, about when she was dating Pete Davidson. That's my theory. Because he all tatted.
Because it's like, all of a sudden, I'm like, damn, look at all those hand tattoos. Nothing wrong with it. I love a good hand tattoo. But it was surprising.
Do you know how much I love Dua Lipa? She also took my number three spot with her remixed album of Future Nostalgia. Was my third most listened to album. Like, I was Dua for days. And Beyonce took number five and six with both versions of the Lion King album. So the one with the interludes.
And
like,
I had to tell you
words.
About that.
You're the one. Because I was like, I don't need all these
words.
I
take credit. I take credit because you were like, this is just a soundtrack. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's a Beyonce album. And people slept on that because she named it.
I was still listening to
it. She named it bad.
She did. She just should have called it The Gift. She didn't need the Lion King part of it.
Yeah, get the Lion King out of here. Just be like it's associated with it.
And Janet, Unbreakable, still coming in hot at number 7 album. At a place that's still old album.
She's tattooed on your heart. She's 100% tattooed on your heart. You bleed Janet Jackson. You know, from the very start of this podcast, we talked about her interludes.
Day one, there'd be no Minority Corner without her. So there it goes. There's music. Shall we dip into what were some of the top shows for you of the year?
Ooh, it feels like 100 years ago, but let's not forget, it's been a long year. Watchmen. Let's not forget motherfucking.
It ended this year.
So that is my absolute number one excellent television show 2020. Lovecraft is good. I like Lovecraft. It's up there. I really enjoyed, this is totally weird, but it's been sticking with me. I enjoyed Perry Mason. I really liked the Perry Mason show that was on HBO. I thought that they did a good job with that. And they did really good kind of history research because I've been kind of hearing about other figures in the past and they connect to that show. So I thought that that's something that's been sticking with me. I liked Seduced, the one about Nexium, not The Vow. The Vow was all right, but Seduced gave me the juice, gave me the quality, gave me that doc that I really needed.
I found, because it's all, so both of them, I just tag teamed them both as on my list. Because I also, you know, I love it. Like, let's go into how does a cult happen? I'm susceptible to cults. I've had near misses with at least two cults of like almost falling into it. So I love me like a cult show. I found that like the tag team punch of the Vow, I do think Seduce is a far, especially because it's like directed, it's directed and produced by women. And the voices you hear are the women. And you also get psychologists who are able to also help you understand what's happening, whereas The Vow, it's just like these people's journey from them escaping, and they were not as in deep as like India per se. I found that like The Vow was a primer, and then watching Seduced, I got in deeper. Like, I felt like it was a 1-2 sort of punch for me. Like, I think if I had just watched Seduced, I think that there's information that The Vow gives you that Seduced does not, because it just it is so much more
convinced. Yeah, I can see that. But for me, I think I would have been satisfied with only the Seduced. Just for me, my own preference with the type of documentary. Because a lot of the things in The Vow, I didn't need it. I like the get me up to the point of where it falls apart. I don't really care about like escaping it and, you know, talking on phones about New York Times articles. Like, whatever. I want to know the dirt about what happened in it. And I want to get the dirt on how it rose to power like that. And Seduced gives it to you hard. So I... was into that. What else did I watch? I liked Full Bloom. Full Bloom, which is a reality competition show on HBO Max. That was excellent. What was the one by Chewy Gum, Michaela Cole? I Will Destroy You.
I May Destroy You.
Yeah. I May Destroy You. Destroyed me. Excellent, great, creative television. God, so much. It's just been like a year of... ups and downs with television, but those are my standouts for right now.
Well, we have some crossover. This will not surprise you or our listeners at all, as the Wonder Twins of podcasting here. So The Wire was my top show, definitely.
That's not a 2020 show, though. Watching shows.
You cannot come at me for my list. You cannot come at me for my list. This was my year. I let you have your list. I wasn't like, because The Watchmen technically was 2019. The Watchmen was technically 2019, but I love it.
But it ended in 2020.
Okay, fine. Splitting hairs. Yeah, like January 1st.
When did The Wire end?
January 1st.
The Wire, they're still using flip phones.
I had never seen it. And it was the first show that I watched in the pandemic. And it was mind-blowing to me because I think, like, when you watch The Wire, for one, it just really, it was ahead of its time. Queer representation with a black lead, like, you know, lesbian cop.
Yes.
I feel like I understand why, like, when people, like, why, you know, the struggles, why communities have struggles with their police department, of why things can't just change when a new police chief comes in, or like why it shows you like why cities are crumbling. And so like when I see different things happening in different cities, like for real, I'm like, oh, I think I know what's kind of happening in different ways. Does that make sense? Like the politics of things that are happening.
Totally. So like you kind of see the mechanisms of it.
Yeah, the yes, 100%. Yeah, and it showed you, and again, like there are no villains, or just are human beings who society has failed in one reason or another. And I just thought it was, for me, one of the most eye-opening shows. Yes. Black Monday is my top comedy of the fucking year. Mm-hmm. It is just, the writing is so amazing. There's a lot of like gay characters. Mm-hmm. It's so funny because it's like, it's 2020 looking at the 80s. Yeah. And so it's almost like an origin story of like how we got to where we are today.
Totally.
Don Cheadle is like top notch. You thought you knew he was funny, but you had
but here's
no
the thing,
idea
James,
how fucking.
That like bums me out that he's such a comedic actor and nobody sees him as a comedic actor, you know? Yep.
Which is why I think he was like, let me take this script. And like, it's almost like he had to create it for himself. He had a Denzel Washington it with like, you know, fences of like, listen. Because Hollywood still doesn't matter if you're Denzel Washington or Don Cheadle. You got to create your own
Viola
shit.
Davis. I know. It's ridiculous.
Yes. Insane. And I think Regina Hall getting to just be like, she's doing some of her, because like, the cast is so talented because they have to switch between funny and drama. So, and the writing is just like, I'm peeing my pants. Yeah. Casey Wilson, the whole cast, so like good. Everyone is so amazing in it. And so just like top notch. Ted Lasso on Apple TV, like Brene Brown went hard on it.
Everybody keeps saying it's good.
It is really, you wouldn't expect, because I was like, really? But the Brene Brown went so hard on it that she had Jason Sudeikis on the show. And she was doing her like shame and, you know, guilt sort of, you know, frame of mind and reference with the show. It tugs, and Ashley Nicole Black is writing on it for season two. And it has such heart and a balance of masculine and feminine sort of writing on it. And it subverts all expectations, and he's just such like a human character. It tugs at all of my heartstrings. Like I literally, my body is vibrating when I'm watching it because you just literally feel all the feels. Just such a fucking.
I have a question for you. Yeah. So a lot of people have talked about, and also just real quick, I want to slip in The Mandalorian. I've really enjoyed that, but
ugh.
So
I only say ugh because it
I know
makes
I get
think
it. Cara Dune fucking
that
sucks, but.
I want her to die in every episode. Doesn't
but
that
don't
suck?
You like Ming-Na? Ming-Na.
I love my friend who I interviewed like a few
she's
times.
Fucking
love
57
her.
She's badass on there. Okay, but anyways, but let's.
But
just,
every time Cara Dune, she ruins every
she
episode
sucks.
For me that
she
she's
sucks,
in.
But.
Yes.
But the show was good. What I wanted to ask, because you bring up Ted Lasso and you bring up Apple TV.
Mm hmm.
I have so many subscriptions, and this is what I feel like a lot of listeners will benefit from this.
The 1 week subscription?
Is it beneficial to get Apple TV?
Well, I don't even remember how I have Apple TV. I think I got it free, because I also, I don't even know whose account, I think it's my account, because I also am like trading off. What you gotta do is you gotta get a group of friends. So like I have the Hulu and the Disney Plus, and then somebody else I know has the Netflix, like, and somebody else I know has the CBS All Access.
Right.
And I trade off, we all like are kind of like trading off passwords. I think I have an Apple Plus because of my Verizon plan that I'm on. It came free.
Okay, that makes sense. All right.
But Apple Plus is, because also The Morning Show is also on it. And I want to tag team for me The Morning Show and I May Destroy You, why they're on my top list. Because again, I'm thinking about what shows had an effect on me this year. Those shows... And like same thing, like those shows connected the dots for myself of the sexual assault that I had experienced. I had never seen it portrayed in the way that they did, the way that it happens, and the different varying ways that it can happen. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it put in a huge perspective of like the multiple sort of sexual assaults that I had survived. Right. And it's so, again, the power of storytelling. Yeah. And Michaela Cole, right? Is that the name? Michaela? Yes.
Yes.
But her, yeah. The morning show teed it up for me, where it was like, oh, I think I have experienced this. And then I will destroy you. I may destroy you. I'm gonna destroy you.
I may destroy you.
You gonna get destroyed. it just took it into so much. It ripped me open to the point where I was like bawling. Yeah. My roommate had kid come home. I started therapy again. But it's, grateful that I had, like, again, the power of storytelling. I'm it's just grateful for these stories and that, you know, these kind of stories are being told. It might put you into therapy. It's just a good thing, like, to give you, if you need to there.
I'm glad that it came out at the beginning of the pandemic, because I'm a little too raw and nerve endings loose right now.
Depends
for
when you watch
but
it. Because I watched it in August, July.
Oh,
yeah. You know,
that was right in the middle, right in the lulls. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, it's tough. It's almost like it's a tough love show, like you said. Like, it will rip you open, because it, in a lot of it spoke to me too, because I've had a lot of those different assaults or encounters with, you know, it's just a fact of the matter. It fucking sucks. People are predatory out there, and then a lot of us have to deal with it. And a lot of it is gray area, because a lot that's one of the things
you
that
don't
I
know.
Really enjoy.
Because like
you don't know.
Because usually on TV or movies directed by men, and they just it's always it's like as if it's just like a, you know, always it's not always so aggressive and so violent. And a lot of times it's someone that you know, or it could be someone that you are dating. And sometimes like your body reacts in a different way. Sometimes you just freeze and have this out of body experience. And just getting to see the different ways of it being portrayed, it was just like, Oh, that has happened to me. Or sometimes you have the sort of like, oh, did this happen? Or making a big deal out of it. And just like, there's a shared space where we can all kind of come together for those of us who have survived these. And also too, sometimes when you realize, when you, like, you know, 35 years or, you know, I don't know how long, but like these decades have gone by and I was like, oh my God, I'm actually a really strong, badass person, because this has happened, hasn't necessarily defined me, but it's to note that, oh, this thing, it sort of helps to connect some of the dots, or, oh, I need to look into this.
Yes, this love that. I love that, because it's hard when you first realize it and it rips it open, but then you can repair and reinforce even stronger, because you can use that to understand. And that's kind of the work that I've been doing since I was like a younger woman. And all of this stuff happened, you know, to me. Now that I'm older, I'm kind of like, okay, now I know, if you have an encounter and you feel weird after it, you don't put it away. You listen to that feeling. You go, why do I feel weird? Why was that weird? Why do I not like that? And then you use that to inform you to go further, because people are, I mean, I don't know. It's a tough show, but it's done really well.
It's
She's
very
a genius.
Well. Yeah, with such care. And but it's weird, because it's done with care. But and because it's done with care, it can go into those hard places.
Yes.
And it doesn't soften any blows.
No.
But it comes from a very informed place. And interesting too that you had mentioned that weird feeling that you get, because when you go to the Vow and Seduce, what you realize is in those cult organizations, they get you to not trust your own warning signs and instincts, you know? And so I think for those of us who have survived sexual assault or trauma or any sort of, you know, experience of control or manipulation, especially the Seduce, definitely, and the Vow, those stories are so, it's sort of a shared cathartic therapeutic experience that you get to go on in that journey. And then the other thing though too that I appreciate with I May Destroy You is that there was also you know, queer sexual assault, how it also happens within, and especially you can, you know, the hyper masculinity even within gay community of like, because sometimes it's like, oh, are we asking for it because we live our lives so openly and so, you know, sexually or whatnot, but it still happens, you know.
And
so I think seeing a character sort of go through that, it was just, you know, powerful, great storytelling.
I'm Viv.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host When Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting.
Whether you are a parent or just know kids exist in the world, join us each week as we honestly share what it's like to be a parent.
These are really hard questions.
They are really hard questions.
I don't have any answers for them.
I don't either.
Sack of garbage.
No.
The end of the show will just be 5 minutes of Viz and Teresa crying and screaming until the outro is played.
So join us each week as we judge less, laugh more, and remind you that you are doing a great job.
Find us on MaximumFun.org, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Minority Corner is supported in part by the Audible Podcast Development Program. Your podcast could be the next one everyone's talking about. Okay, y'all, here's what's going on. If you have an original podcast idea, Audible wants to hear it and wants to help you get it heard. Yes! So Audible is looking for the next generation of storytellers from diverse perspectives, cultures, regions, and identities. So apply now to get $10,000 to develop your podcast. This is so dope. Do it, y'all. I know you got them ideas. Send Audible your scripted podcast as well as documentary or investigative journalism. Sorry, no conversational shows or hosted interviews, so Minority Corner will not be participating in this, but you all do it. Do it, Corner Kids, do it. I know you got them stories. I know you got them show ideas. So here's what you're going to do. You know you got that idea that's been swimming in your head, especially over here during the pandemic. So what you're going to do is go to audible.com/podcastpitch and share your story today. Can we switch over to movies, switching gears, which is a hard one because, like, not a lot of movies came out.
You're going to be real disappointed in me because I'm in full toddler town, nothing. So I don't get a lot
give me
of
the
movies.
Yeah, give, what you got? VeggieTales?
No, fuck no. I'm not a VeggieTale lady. I know that was aggressive. That came out
there,
of me.
I know there might be some veggie stands out there, some veggie army.
I am going to pull a James and talk about things that came from the past and not 2020. Okay.
I never said it wasn't allowed. You made up those own rules. You made those rules up for yourself. I said,
well,
what happened
say,
in 2020
what
for
are
you?
What are your favorites in 2020? I generally think it's like things that came out in 2020.
That was your own.
It's like, I enjoyed eating this. There was a delicious pear that I had on March 30th.
Yeah, talk about that pear. What happened? It was clearly memorable, life-changing.
Okay, so I have been Disney Plus, thank you very much, giving me everything. But before I go into Disney Plus, I'm going to talk about this little movie franchise that I completely made fun of when it first came out when I was pre-child. And now that I am with child, I now understand why it's so good. I love the Trolls movies. I'm just going to say it. I watch the Trolls movies. It is hilarious. They are super cute. The animation is excellent. Everything is kind of felt-based. Like, it's made to, like, everything looks soft and made out of felt, and that's on purpose. The singing is good. Anna Kendrick, Justin Timberlake, James Corden.
I gotta mentally prepare myself.
But just think about
it
as like a kids movie. And the good thing is they don't really like the first movie, Justin Timberlake doesn't even sing until the end. That's his whole character.
Great.
Like, I don't sing. So and they do a good job of like actually it isn't like, oh, that's that person playing the role. Like they actually do a good job with that. Like it feels very
like,
much
when
like
when it's like Katy Perry and Smurfs, I'm like, I got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're like
it's Katy Perry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I really enjoy it.
There
and
was
also
no voice actress.
My daughter loves it. Mm-hmm. I know it's good though. So the singing is good. Yeah. It's all pop. It's visually stunning. And the story is actually pretty heartwarming. I loved it. The second one is a little loosey-goosey. It has what's her face from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Rachel Bloom, which I really like. She does a good job. They do a lot of tongue-in-cheek jokes. I love Trolls. Right. That, yeah. I have to say, if you have a toddler,
it sounds like
watch
it's
it.
In the vein of sort of like Shrek changed the game for like, you know, kids
yes.
movies where there was stuff for
it's
parents.
DreamWorks.
Like, I think about
Trolls, good. DreamWorks, a lot of tongue in cheek, a lot of funny, weird shit. I liked it. Been revisiting the Disney movies. Because before Maya goes to bed, we'll watch a little Disney movie. Some are the ones that you remember being problematic are extra problematic. Like your Pinocchios are weird. Your Peter Pans are weird.
I do like that they do put a little warning on before they put a little bit of a they put a little bit of a warning on before it. Even before an episode of Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, they had to do the little label. Sometimes these kids
shows
and
we
were
blackface in that one. What's going on? Why?
No, they just did a like these cats were very stereotypically these like Chinese cats in Chinatown were very like over the top.
Yeah.
And I think that's a white guy doing a bad impression.
That's another 101 Dalmatians problematic. Stay away. Speaking of Asian cats.
Your
face. Yeah, you look. I saw you went off into
I
a bubble for a second, and then you came back.
Because I recently had rewatched, and I was like, whoa, because she's trying to kill them puppies, and people like, you know, PETA. And, oh, no.
No, because of that whole song.
Mm-hmm. in Lady and the Tramp. Yeah.
Oh, is that Lady and the Tramp, or is that 101 Dalmatians?
It's Lady and the Tramp. Lady and the Tramp.
Okay.
I think 101 is okay, because I just recently redid it.
Okay.
It's a little boring, but other than that.
Okay. Okay, but here are the things that I was pleasantly surprised about. Cinderella. No problems, except for maybe there's a little bit of abuse. Like, they kind of beat her up, which is weird. But absolutely no racial slurs.
Kids got
no
trauma, too. Some kid's going to be like, that's me. That's my story.
I mean, that's problematic.
Oh, I can get out of here, too.
It's not great.
I can dream of a better place.
It's not
One day
great.
I'll fly away.
It is. But you know what? And I really enjoyed Cinderella because I didn't realize how much of a weirdo she is. Like, you know how those little mice are running around
she
with clothes on?
She sings and talks to birds.
She dresses them. I forgot about that.
Recently we watched this too.
Like, but I was also kind of enjoyed it.
Did
I really enjoyed
re-watch
it.
Did you Bambi? Because I realized what an asshole his dad
I haven't rewatched Bambi. I haven't.
His dad is an asshole.
I haven't jumped into that.
His dad is an asshole because they're like, his dad comes prancing down and everyone's like, bow down. Like he's Beyonce coming down and bow down, bitches.
Yeah.
And dad comes walking by, looks at his son, and then just keeps on walking and doesn't show up until the forest is burning. Mom has been dead. Bambi had to go and like raise himself. And then dad shows up at like the last minute. Like,
I know.
Deadbeat dad.
That's a common thread between Disney movies. Parents be fucking
up. Who hurt you, Walt? Who hurt you?
Parents be fucking up. That's all classic Disney movies. Mm. Every single classic Disney movie is a That's parent true. That fucked up. Or died.
King Triton.
Actually,
showing off them nips.
Put a pin in that. That's the other one I wanted to talk about. So, King Triton is hot. I didn't realize how hot he was.
He's too sexy.
He got that
100%.
Body. And two, Ariel is an asshole.
And a weirdo. And not that there's anything wrong with a weirdo, but like, she's a hoarder.
But not a good,
She's a hoarder. She has emotional attachments to all these objects. She wants to like get rid of what makes her special. And like, because she thinks some man is cute. She's like, let me go be with him. And like,
forget
my mermaid.
She's a goddamn princess. Yeah. She's a star of the show. All her sisters are waiting for her to perform, and she's out there collecting trash. Then she gets mad at her dad because the dad's like, you don't respect our culture. And she's like, fuck you, dad. And then she goes to the... No, she's the worst.
I think
Little Mermaid is a terrible movie.
It's a good way, I think, to like sit down with my little black daughter and black son. And we're going to sit down. And we're going to watch it and then have a conversation of like why this is problematic. And they're going to be like, but I'm six.
Yes.
And I'm going to be like, your blackness is what makes you amazing. You know, Ariel is the villain of the movie.
Oh, it starts earlier than that, James. I'm saying this to Maya. Yes. I was like, Maya, you need to listen to your dad. He's the only parent that doesn't fuck up. And even at one point, he's sitting there talking to Sebastian and he's like, did I make a mistake? He's like revisiting his own shit. King Triton is...
And
we all need to celebrate King Triton.
He is a single dad. He's got all these daughters and he has to be a king of a kingdom. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you as a parent, sometimes you might lose it and you're like, oh man, I overreacted. Like he's just really trying his best.
He's
and
stressed
Ariel
out.
Is a handful. Little princess.
And he has to maintain those abs.
Oh my God, it's work.
How do you? expect, honestly. So those are the movies that I've been... I'm trying to think if I watched any adult movies.
Because there weren't like a lot of movies. I think this is nice. It'll be the flip side of the spectrum. For me, I spent so much more time in, like, you know, there was a pandemic. Didn't go to the movie. The only movie I saw in theaters was Birds of Prey. It was the last movie that I saw. And
I watched that too. I saw that.
I loved it so much. Female director. I love the diversity of the cast. Jurnee Smollett.
It's kicking fun.
Ass is like Black Canary. Very fun. Ewan McGregor being amazing in it, like Rosie Perez in her 50s being an action star. I just thought it was such a great origin story for these DC characters that I wish more people would have gone to the theater to go see. And I hope that there's more, because I love Elizabeth Winstead, what she did with Huntress. Like, she had a traumatic version
of
Batman.
She made her weird. I love it. Yeah.
Which is perfect. Like, if your parents were murdered,
I know.
You'd be
you're gonna
traumatic
be weird.
And weird. Yes, 100%. Yes. Also love The Old Guard with Charlize Theron. That was I love that too.
I did see that.
See, you saw some adult things.
I saw some stuff. I also watched all three John Wicks too, because that was really
me cool. too. I'd never seen them, but I was like, let's do this. They're very violent.
Yes.
So
yes,
violent.
But I needed it. I needed that violence.
Fair.
Angie was like, my husband was like, what are you doing? I was like, I need this right now. Let me have this.
Incredibly stylized. Very well done. I think it's one of those movies that's going to change action movies. I think like even Falcon and Winter Soldier, a lot of movies are pulling those action coordinators to do their movies. So it's sort of like how the Matrix changed the game. They're changing the game. Very stylized. Mm-hmm. Halle Berry was a fucking amazing in that third one. I love her. So good. Yeah. Doing action. I fucking love it. She trained so hard, and you could tell she trained with those dogs. Like, that action sequence is so bomb. More of her.
It was great.
I also put, I'm a big Jessica Chastain fan. I don't know if this is a surprise. I love Jessica Chastain. I don't know why she captured. I think she's so good.
I'm glad Molly's that she has fans.
Molly's Game and Miss Sloane are two at-home movies that I really enjoyed. Get out of my life. Stop it. Don't yuck my yum. Do not yuck
I'm
my
not
yum.
Yucking it. I'm not. I'm just very
don't question
confused.
My yum.
Your cue is diverse. I'll just say that.
It's also just kind of like what's come to mind. I mentioned the Taylor Swift documentary. It was, you know, changing. Immigration Nation, which is more of actually like a series, I thought it was so eye-opening to see what's going on at the border. Very well done documentary series. And then The Fight.
Which
I can't remember. There's the one that Stacey Abrams did, and then there's the one that Kerry Washington did. And I think the one that Kerry Washington did was The Fight, where it tells like the four different battles of the ACLU. And that documentary and Stacey Abrams' documentary, it's inspiring. And I needed that inspiration to show that, you know, people can win. We can win. We just have to be in the fight.
Yes.
And being inspired by that. And also The Report. The Report was also a really great, you know, movie with...
I don't know that one.
What's his face?
What is that one?
John Oliver's obsessed with him. Tall. Drink
of
water. Adam Brody? No.
Adam Driver. Adam Driver.
Adam Driver. Yes. And... What's her face plays Dianne Feinstein, who actually really helped to get, what's her name? Oh, God. Annette Bening.
Oh.
And she plays Dianne Feinstein, who I didn't realize this, but Dianne Feinstein is the reason why a lot of the Guantanamo Bay stuff got resurfaced, was because of, like, well, she's the one that helped with this report bring attention to it.
Interesting. Yeah. Man, James, you really covered the gamut with your movies over pandemic. I applaud you. And I do miss popcorn. I miss, as soon as we can, you and I need to go have a movie date, because
movie hop. Once I got that vaccine running through my body, I will be ready to go. I didn't do a lot of books this year because I just was depressed. I usually try to read a book a year, a book a month, and I didn't really. But a book that stands out for me, Hillary Clinton's book. I did What Happened, or Watch What Happens Live. What is her book? Watch What Happened to My Life. Or here's what I think that, here's how shit got fucked up.
Just... the one with her gorgeous photo on the cover.
And again, kind of similar to Taylor Swift. Again, like, I thought I knew, but I had no idea. And how important it is to actually,
you real world her.
or diaried her. Is that real world? Oh, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is diary.
It's real.
You think you know, but you had no idea. But I stopped. I did stop getting polite and started getting real with Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, thank you. You got to help me with
They're
these
very
slogans.
All similar, okay? It's fair.
I know they are.
So I did her book, really eye-opening to just dig in deep to, like, you know, I thought I knew, and I wish I would have known her story. And I think so many people, if we would have known her story, as opposed to letting the media cast light, so many of us, I think, fell into just sort of headlining conspiracy, like it had an effect on us, even if we weren't fully drinking that, like, alt-right conspiracy theorist Kool-Aid. And I think because, you know, with women, like, like letting women tell their story, or I think going to anybody, know it for yourself, as my grandmother said, know it for yourself, find out for yourself, and then make a decision and be like, okay, like, okay, but there's, you know, two sides to every story, but at least hear fully that other side. And it's the same thing with, like, Taylor Swift.
Right.
I redid the James Nallen's The Purposeful Millionaire. Was so important. It really, as the pandemic was hitting, and it was such an important book because it changed, I think, the trajectory of where I was going into a very potentially negative space. And, you know, the book is, you know, not necessarily, he called it that just to be, you know, attention grabbing, but it's so much more of just like your own personal happiness, your own personal development, your own personal joy, going for like your own dreams. And then I also did The Alchemist as well. So those are my books.
I like that. I did Such Fun Age. Excellent book. Read it. Great fiction. I've already talked about this on the podcast, but A Song Below Water. Excellent YA. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. I also read Circe, which is pretty good. It's interesting Greek mythology from the eyes of somebody else, which I thought was, you know, one of those revisionist history kind of books. But it's not history, but, you know, revisionist fables. Excellent book. Mm. And then I've just bought, and I'm actually really excited to read it. It's called Kindred. It's nonfiction, and it's about Neanderthals.
I heard of this
and how
story.
Their connection to humans, which is like deeply fascinating.
Do you have any top moments or heroes of the year? I can kick it off. My heroes of the year are Kamala Harris,
Elijah Cummings, rest in power. We now carry the torch that you brought forward.
Chadwick Boseman and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and moments that stick out to me. Black is King, WAP, and Rain on Me.
Those are good moments. Heroes of the year.
And the election, obviously.
Stacey Abrams. Who else? Moments of the year. Oh my God, so many moments. WAP is a big one. I would also say Megan Thee Stallion on Saturday Night Live doing her Black Women tribute. I think that was huge. I also want to kick it off to the squad, because even they all got re-elected, they've added more people to their squad, and they are proving that all of the bullshit that was thrown against them is all for naught, because they are legitimate politicians that we need to
support.
And
to everybody who got involved this election season and voted, like, we all kicked so much ass.
Yes.
It was, you know, and much and more work to go, but I think it was such a 2020 was such a wake-up year. I think that if, like, 2000, you know, when the first Black Lives Matter movement had happened, I think that was, like, maybe, like, puberty for our generation in terms of, like, waking up. And if, I think that this 2020 was our return of Saturn. You know, it was sort of, like, finishing
off
good. The work that, like, legitimizing the work and resurfacing. Like, you know, you think you're like, oh, I'm an adult and I know. No. It came back around and was like, boom. I think we all got hit with, like,
yes,
our own collective responsibility, individual responsibility as, you know, members in a democracy and what that means.
Ooh, I also have to, like, shout out Dr. Fauci.
Yeah.
Because Dr. Fauci has just been there for us, giving us all of the real cold, hard facts about this pandemic and what we need to look forward to. And I always listen to what he has to say. And he was involved in the craziest, stupidest administration ever. So,
and is very smart. Held his tongue when he needed to, because he knew the work that he needed to do and say was, like, that incredibly important. So those are our favorite things, Corner Kids. Let us know what your favorite things are.
I'm not usually one that's like, ooh, oh God, what a year. Can't wait for the next year. Because, like, what is a year? I mean, it just, nothing really magically changes or will be fixed by the snap of the new year. But I will give 2020, yes, this was, ooh, what a year. I will give it that, ready to turn the lights off on this one. And I think it is, I think we need that collective reset as individuals, as people, as a society, to take the learning to 2020, what we learned about ourselves as a community, as a culture, as a society, and take the learnings through 2021. Isn't that like how you make a diamond? You like press a rock really hard and something pretty comes out the end. And boy, were we getting pressed. We should have known. Started off with we lost Kobe Bryant, what, like January 3rd? So what a year. Here's hoping. But you know what? We're prepared for if this next year is also challenging. We are ready. And I also feel like the person of the year, hands down, George Floyd. It feels weird to say, but I give gratitude to him and his life in the sense that, you know, I think his murder and lynching, it changed the tide of the election. It has changed history. It has changed the conversations that many folks are having. It brought even more of you here to Minority Corner. Welcome. I don't even think bittersweet is the right word. It's I give thanks. I give thanks to George Floyd, and we will not let his death be in vain. We continue to do the work. It still hurts. It's still rough because there's just still so much pain and still so much more work to be done. I have hopes. I have hopes as we turn the corner from this year. Now that I have you all to myself, I have hopes. We have a vaccine. It's on the horizon. I was definitely mentally not expecting it to come this soon. I was mentally prepared to wait as long as it needs to. We need to do what we need to do. At the same time, I'm probably last in line. Listen, everybody go get, you know, what they need to get ahead of me, who really needs it. You know, I'll probably be like, what, June? Birthday present for me. Also very hopeful about all the Disney Plus announcements. Riri Williams, Ironheart, let's go. Like, just so much greatness, like, coming out of the Disney Plus. If you ain't got Disney Plus, you're doing it wrong. Get someone's password. On the political front, so many progressive AGs were just sworn in to office. And attorneys generals, that's where you really see police reform happen. And a swath of progressive AGs were just sworn in. So thank you to all of them who got in the arena, and thank you to all of you who voted for them and who campaigned for them, who donated to their causes. Let's continue to keep our eyes and focus on the politics on a local level, because that's where we're going to see a lot of the impact really happening. I'm so hopeful for, you know, there's across the nation, over 13 cities at this point are reimagining what their police look like and doing some form of defunding the police or reallocating the funds from the police departments. I mean, we defund the schools all the time. So, I mean, I know I'm one that's like, let's not call it defund the police because I just want the actions to change. But I mean, we defund things that we need all the time, and defunding doesn't mean getting rid of the funding completely. Y'all already know. Anyways, as you can see, as we're having to re-explain ourselves and rebrand these things, there's just the tip of the iceberg in terms of the work that needs to be done. But be hopeful in that work and movement are happening. I'm hopeful for Georgia. You know, we have two more weeks. If you are in the state of Georgia, I hope that you are, you know, volunteering and calling and campaigning and talking to your neighbors. If you have family, please be doing that work. Family or friends that are there, donate, phone bank, text bank, whatever you can do. This could make the hugest difference into what the next 2 to 4 years to future look like for our country. So much hinges on that. And don't y'all want Kamala Harris to have like the last deciding vote? Like, let's give her all the power in the Senate, right? She will be the tiebreaker. Still work to be done, but Kamala Harris, Black Indian lady vice president, like, come on, y'all. This is just amazing. Like, this is great. Oh, we're so close. And also in 2020, Black Lives Matter finally stopped being controversial. Thank you. I feel like it's one less weight that I have to carry. I feel finally seen as a Black man in this country. I feel like people actually see the journey as much as they can possibly see it who are not Black. And don't let this just be a flash in the pan, a fad or a moment. Now let's get to the fact check. So Oregon was the state that decriminalized drugs. I also want to fact check myself. I've said this many a time that our Rosie the Riveter, comparing it to World War II, that, you know, oh, it's just us like sitting on the couch. That is very kind of like blasé. Like for some people, sure. In the terms of like all we're asking people to do is just really just stay at home. We're not having to sacrifice, like, you know, we're not going to war. You know, you have to like sacrifice your medal or whatnot, but there are certain sacrifices that we have to make. But the real Rosie the Riveters are our frontline workers. So it would be, you know, a nurse or a doctor or the folks who are out there, you know, the grocery store workers, the food delivery people. So I hope I don't sound too cavalier, but my whole entire point is to show that, like, it's not going to kill us to have to wait another fucking year before we can see movies in the theater. Like, come on, people. Like, you can go to a bar in a year or two. The vaccine's here. I want to correct myself. I keep saying go down the pipeline. It's actually a pike line. You can Google that. It's about boats or something, turning down a pike. I don't know. My manager explained it to me, and I'm like, mm-hmm. Fun fact, REM, Losing My Religion, also on my top bot playlist. I felt the need to tell you that. I have this on my list. I don't know what this means. Racism/label. That was on my fact check. I don't know. Go fact yourself. It's a different podcast. But if you know what that means, tweet at us. Also, I need to fact check myself. I was ranting and raving about the prom. And while I do think it's, you know, wonderful and amazing, I do have notes. I do not think that James Corden should have been playing. I feel like him and Andrew Reynolds, who was also in Black Monday, get up on that. I feel like they should have switched characters. I think James Corden is a great, lovely man. I don't think that he should have played that gay character. In the realm of, you know, Renee, who was on the podcast recently from Can I Pet Your Dog, her cat, like if she was doing casting and we had that discussion about, you know, who can play queer roles, who can play straight roles. There are plenty of gay actors who could have played that role. Andrew Reynolds was staring at in the face, like, could have played that part so well. And because the role, he did a great job with it, but it, to me, it was just the tip of the iceberg. He did as great of a job as I think a straight person really could do. It's such a lived experience. I think so many queer people have had to wear the mask or navigate a straight world so much, it's much easier, I think, for us to play those parts because, for one, we see it. We know your lives. We know how the stories are. We know how your struggles are. We know your lives. We've maybe had to walk in those footsteps to be able to survive. Whereas playing a queer person, it's such a lived experience. And I'm not saying a straight person can't. I just think that they're... James Corden does a great job, but I just have a feeling that a gay person would have brought something even deeper to the role. So that's my two cents. But I think the movie is going to do great, wonderful things and creating such voice and outlet, and it's going to save lives. I really do believe that. Here we are. The end of the episode. We will be back next week, but it is going to be our Kwanzaa Spectacular, our annual Kwanzaa Spectacular. We're going to pull some segments from our Kwanzaa, as we have always, you know, it's our annual Kwanzaa Spectacular. So we'll be back next week, but we'll be launching on Saturday because a lot of holidays happening next week. So we'll be launching on Saturday morning. You can wake up, kick off your Kwanzaa week with us on Saturday morning. We'll be here, but as we close out, I do want to ask y'all, what were some of your favorite things? You can tweet at us, let us know. How did you grow this year? What did you learn about yourself? And what are you going to take into the new year with you are my questions for you all. Well, big thanks to Aneke for jumping on here on the show. Big thanks to Sarah Brown, our wonderful, talented editor. And to Sam Jackson, our social media manager, who's killing it. If you're not on Instagram, you better go over and onto that Instagram. She's doing great things with that. Also, Sarah Brown has been uploading things to our YouTube channel. So you can not only listen to Minority Corner, you can look at us. Look at us. All right, kiddos, that's going to do it for me. Thank you all so much for listening to Minority Corner. Oh, and also just thank you to the listeners. There's no show without you. So thank you to the listeners. Also to our Maximum Fun members. Can't thank y'all enough. And now I'm going to head out of here. Thank you all so much for listening to Minority Corner, because together we're the majority. Love ya.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.